Perhaps a parallel for Stephen Hartford. Yes. For the moment, he doesn't necessarily have a fleet in Church Lord. And with Larrabod, with Lyme Frank, and Lyme Frank, Dr. Sharon has a travel, keep them safe, keep them well, those might go. And save those that are lost, Lord, with safe calls, Stephen and John, Lord, as to get down on their life and save their souls, Lord. With Christy and Taylor's are off the States, Lord, for great trouble, Lord, help him with his work, help him. And the paperwork, Lord, and help them to keep up of thanks, Lord, and bless them and keep them all out of it as well, Lord. With Esther, Lord, love for any trouble, Lord, heal her and love for any trouble. With Stephen Pat, to help them, especially Stephen, he's in general attacks, Lord. May step in and help them, Lord, what be to the doctor or come heal them, Lord. And with them, keep them safe as well, Lord. And with John Bradfield, Lord, love for any trouble, help him in his forthcoming operation, Lord, and his cataract and his eyes, Lord, heal them, Lord. And make his sight better than ever, Lord. And with the organizations that we support, Lord, and on as we on the advice list we don't know about our stay, Lord, with the full counsel of the Lord. Lord, with Mesa National Open Doors, Kids for Schools and Christian Shield, provide for them and keep them safe, Lord, and help them in the enterprise, Lord, to extol life virtues and to extol the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and the saving grace, Lord, and that Father, your love to us, that we yet sinners you sent Jesus to die for our sins, Lord. Let us thank you for Martin's come to deliver the gospel, Lord. Help us in all functions of the service, Lord. May it be acceptable on your side, Lord. Let us thank you for the keepers for Jesus Christ again.
Yeah. Let's sing a song. Read black books if you like. Number 16. That's good, mate. We'd like to take in turn there.
My soul and words sing to you.
big books now, if you'd like to take that out. Yeah, let's do 250. 250. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. And if your foot will stand as we sing.
Chapter 6. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who you are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother go to law with brother, and not before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brother, know ye not that the righteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor sorcerers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought unto the power of any. Meat for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Were you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. For he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Know ye not ye are of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen.
Reading. There's some very, very powerful verses there, well worth knowing at least where they are, verses 9, 10, and 11, which basically covers everybody. Doesn't matter who or what you are. Talks about thieves and liars and murderers and homosexuals and people that sleep around. Says you're not getting into heaven if that's the your raison d'etre, what you spend your life on, says, such were some of you. And I like that verse, that is the big thing. And such were some of you. But you're washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our Lord. Amen. Thank you for the reading. Thank you for the reading this morning as well. We appreciate them all. Wish Brother Steve was here to partake in the fruits of his labours. He and Norman organised the Bible reading, so we appreciate that. Please do pray for Steve. He's not keeping well again. Please do pray for Esther too. We miss her as well. Of course, Christy and Taylor are travelling. Link and Frank are travelling as well. So, as Thomas says, there's no justice in the world. There's just us. So, please do pray for them all. Is there anything else we need to be adding to our prayer lists? Yes, Mrs. Brown. Yes. If we didn't mention it already, I think we sent out a text, but there is a family called the Spears family, and they have, they were very good to Monica whenever she came over from America, and they helped her with settling in and with a bit of moral support and one thing and another over the years. And he took a stroke. He's in his, I think he's in his 70s, isn't he? He was a fit man. I think he was helping his son with a joinery works up in Kilkeel. And he took a stroke, and I don't know much else about him at the moment, so we'd appreciate his prayers. James Spears. Anything else? Do pray for Esther. Do pray for Will's granny, Mary Ann. Do pray as well for David. We don't have David King this evening either. Will's connection has a lot of folks have just come down with COVID. His auntie and his cousin and his family, that would be William and Rachel and Lily Ann, they have COVID running around the family. And it's not pleasant. Nobody likes to have the... You can stick a cold and you can keep battering on, but really once you get a flu, regardless of whether it was COVID-18, 17, 15 or whatever, or COVID-19, a flu's a flu, and if you're not doing the best before you get it, it's going to hurt you. So please do pray for them. And of course, for our country and our leaders, and I just pray that we can find a chimps party for them to properly, a chimps tea party for them to properly manage and use all of their hard fought for skills over the years. I can't think of any right now, so somebody just put them in charge of this country. Please do pray for us as well. Amen. Don't forget Colin. He has been put in charge of
Bargain Buys.
I keep going to say Best Buys, and that is an American firm. He's been put in charge of Bargain Buys in the Richmond Centre for the next week. So please do pray for him as he works up there. And for Charlotte as well. We never mentioned Charlotte, but please do pray for Charlotte. Pray for everybody. And don't forget the people that actually made it here tonight as well. Pray for yourselves. Anything else? Lord knows, as any of you folks got, have Monica and myself, Ling, Steve and Pat, we never really got to them. Will, William H., all the private prayer requests. Has anybody else got private prayer requests they'd like for us all to talk to God about? Okay, that's that. Anybody thankful for anything? No, we're all grumpy, entitled Christians that expect everything to be sat at their feet.
Well, I did pray to be put in charge of Argyle, but I didn't expect in this caliber so soon. So I guess that can be thankful. Yes.
Did you hear that laugh? Well, Colin, were you expecting it?
At some point, yes, but not so soon and under these circumstances.
I think it works out well for you. If nothing else, it'll be an experience. So it might be this time next week you'll be thanking the Lord for the experience of managing bargain bags. Bread goes well. That's grand. One other thing, Kate Cairns, wee disabled woman, neighbour of Billy's, she was admitted to hospital over the weekend with COVID as well. Now, she has a multitude of health problems. She was frail before she even went into hospital, so please do pray for Kate Cairns. I think that's about it. We'll have a word of prayer, we'll sing another song or two, and then we'll open our Bibles for you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come before you. You know we have a bunch of prayer requests for friends and family that are sick, Lord, for, with COVID, with strokes. Lord, there's just so many people with so much need. Pray for wee Kate as well, Lord, for Will's connection, for Fiona, and for William and Rachel and Lillian. And for his granny as well, Lord, I know she's contemplating surgery on her knees. My dad, Lord, for the surgery on his eye. For James Spears, Lord, for that stroke issue. Lord, for legal issues as well. We know that they are and can be very burdening. And I pray, Lord, for all the parties involved in that. Especially for the church, Lord. And thank you for keeping the weather off of us, Lord, until we got the skin in the church and we got it sealed. Father, we just thank you for everything. Please be with Colin as he looks after the shop, as he manages the shop. Be with Charlotte and Leonard and Christine and Mary Ann, Ling and Frank, Christy and Taylor, Esther, Pat and Steve. We miss all of these dear souls tonight, Father. And David as well and his family. Lord, you know all of our needs and that of our families. Be with Pat, he and Lord, and her health this time. And Roger too. For the folks in the churches, Lord, wherever they're opening the King James and preaching the full counsel of it, Lord, I pray you please for health and strength, blessings for overcoming power, for an opening of eyes, and Lord, for a plainness of purpose. Just love you and thank you. Put your good hand upon our government, Lord. Don't give them 1 minute of rest. Convict them daily of the things that they should be doing, and Lord, of the things that they shouldn't be doing. We love you and thank you, and we pray all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, according to your will. Amen. Amen. Big hymn books again, if you would. I'll let you exercise your vocal cords for another minute or two. Go near the beginning. Hymn number 41. 41 is the Sweet By and By. Right, one more before we open our Bibles. 233. Tell me the old, old story. 233. Again, if you're able, stand with me as we sing this old favorite.
Jesus and His glory.
may be seated. My answer to your request is okay. I will tell you the old story. We're in Luke chapter 2, if you would like to take. I'm trying to think it's Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Might even be Luke chapter 1. Somewhere in there. Not too far away. If you're in the book of Luke, you're not too far away. Yeah, we're in Luke chapter 1. Nope, we're in Luke chapter... Yeah, Luke chapter 1. Very. If you flick right the way through to near the very end of Luke chapter 1, and go to verse number 67. This is just the old story. I haven't been finding it hard to come up with a title for it today. And there's not really a title as such. I want to read a few verses from Luke chapter 1, and then I would like to go on to where are we? Luke chapter 3, and read a couple of verses there. But Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Amen. This is shortly after John the Baptist has been born, and Zacharias has confirmed that his name is not to be Zacharias after his dad's name, but his name was to be called John. And as soon as this had happened, Zacharias was able to speak. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. We should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child," speaking about John, "shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." I want to read just a few verses from Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 4, and reading on to verse number 6. And it says, "As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Amen. That is our reading. We're going to be just thinking on the old story. And that's it. Well, would you lead us in a wee word of prayer, if you would?
Dear Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for us to begin, Lord. But give Mark a touch of spirit, Lord. And reach out and touch our hearts, Lord. And especially those that listen to the CD as well, Lord, that they may be touched as well, Lord. Reason with us, Lord, against word and grace, word in conjunction with thy word, Lord, with thy son, Lord. When we do everything that's acceptable on my side, Lord. Pray for our country, Lord, pray for the world leaders, Lord. Give them a wisdom, Lord, save their souls primarily, Lord. And bring them more in line with thy thinking, Lord, and may thy everything be done according to thy will, and according to thy justice, according to thy will, Lord. And pray for the mysteries throughout the world, Lord, and the services that are happening throughout the world at this time, Lord, that are taking place, Lord. And pray for them and send thy spirit, Lord, to convict those that are lost and restore those that are backslidden, Lord, and that thy name be extolled above every other name that's in the world, Lord. And Lord, that people know that the Lord is good and he is rightly to be praised and worshipped, Lord. May we worship that great and holy name both this year that is to come, Lord. May we give us a resolution to continue with thee, Lord, more stronger and more vibrant and a long life path, Lord, with us this night, Lord. We've marked as you come to preach the gospel, Lord, and reach us and touch us and strike him forward on our hearts, Lord, and guide us and protect us for Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Amen. I don't know if you noticed as we were reading this, but some of the words that Zacharias actually spoke haven't actually come to pass yet. But he said that, were our way, that he would grant unto us in verse 74 that we, being delivered out of their hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and the hand of all those that hate us. That actually hasn't happened yet. So Zacharias was not just speaking of when the Lord was there. He was speaking of something that was going to happen thousands of years in his future, which is not so very far away in our future, whenever the Lord came back to rule and to reign this world. So quite interesting. But the thing that I wanted to spend a little bit of time on this evening is, I know things are difficult in these last of the last days. They're difficult for the Christian. There is so much going on out there. There are so many things to distract us. There are so many things that work against us. The devil himself walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And for by even that, there's the problem with our own sinful natures, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All those things work against us. So that sometimes even the simplest of things can distract us from the purpose of. And then whenever you get through feeling bad about letting the Lord down, whenever you're out and about just in your ordinary everyday business, you come to church and the preacher, he is really laying it on thick about how we're all sinners, and we are, and about how we're all worthless sinners, which we're not. We're very precious in the sight of God, and that we really ought to be doing more. And this is how you, as the preacher would say, you can do more. Bear in mind, the Lord talked about preachers like that. He said about how all the things that they would teach and preach, and the Lord said, all the things that they teach you from the Bible, you make sure and do them, but don't do what they do, for they lay grievous burdens upon people, but don't actually lift one of their little fingers to help them. So, a lot of times the services can be almost used to batter the congregation, to put more into the plate, or making the preacher feel good about himself and turn it out more regular. Some of the messages can be educational, maybe too educational and very dry, and cannot engage with us at all. And it takes maybe some work to get to grips with them. I try not to make my messages like that. I try to read the portion of God's word, and I try to show you where exactly it fits into our lives on any given day. And so there are the messages that, well, the preacher's trying to stuff facts down our throats. And the truth of the matter is, you've heard people say that, haven't you? You try to force your beliefs down my throat. It doesn't matter how often you preach a gospel message to a lost man. Doesn't matter how often you preach an edifying message to a saved man. If they do not want to listen, they're not going to listen. That'll just be, the eyes will glaze over and they'll maybe drift off into a catatonic state for half an hour, if you're lucky, till the message is over. And then they'll be back in time to shake hands and say goodbye to people. Some messages are like that. And some messages are prophetic messages. And I don't mean that the preacher stands up and makes this brand spanking new prophecy and says, this is what's going to happen. Because all the prophecy that we need is actually in the Word of God. And I find, personally, I find those messages very, very interesting. Because as a younger man, a much younger man, that was very nearly the very thing that destroyed me. Was trying to find out the future, checking into all manner of occultism and fortune telling and horoscopes and things like that. And that nearly destroyed me. And I find that very interesting, but I know that sometimes that's not people's cup of tea, but I find it interesting because it underpins The future coming to pass underpins the events of the past and lets us know that the words of God speaks good. He's as good as his word. And I find that very interesting. Sometimes people don't. And then there's other messages that are chastening messages. There's messages that are uplifting messages. There's historical messages. What can we learn from the history of the Jewish people and how God worked with them? There's lots of different messages. Some days they just wear a little bit thin. Some days they're very, very interesting. But as we look, as we stand or sit on the second day of 2022, I was just thinking and feeling a little bit like a phone in recharge as I was reading the tail end of Luke chapter 1 and the start, or well, middle wee bit of Luke chapter 3. And I got to thinking about the reason for it all. The reason for all of it. And just a few of, I think maybe three or four verses, which pretty much sum it all up. First of all, you have to remember this one thing. God loves you. He loves you, if you like, as much as his own son, and maybe even more, because he was prepared and he did go through with commanding his son to come down to this world to give his life in this world for 33 years and then on the cross to save each and every person in this world from their sins if they will let him. And Zacharias said this was the job that John the Baptist came to do. He came to be a herald for God. He came to cry out and say there is a Messiah coming. He came to, in verse number 76, to go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to remind people. Do you remember the old prophecy? Do you remember when Daniel said, or prophesied about the 70 weeks of years against Israel? Do you remember that? Do you remember how many years it's been? It's been, whatever, 400 and, I'm going to get this badly wrong, it's been 480 years since Nehemiah got the go-ahead to rebuild this place. Things are going to be happening very, very soon to draw people's minds back to the Savior that is literally ingrained into every aspect of Jewish life. But not only that, he was come to bring that to all men. Remember the words of the Lord to Abram? He said, "In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Yes, salvation came to the Jews, but it's not just for the Jews. It's for whosoever will. Remember Ruth the Moabitess, banned traditionally from taking part in any of the religious ceremonies of the Jews. She became part of the lineage of Jesus Christ Almighty. Do you remember Rahab the harlot? Goodness, saved miraculously. We spoke about her earlier on. The Lord would invite anybody, invites everybody, and will accept anybody that will accept him. But this is what John came to do. Do you remember? Is it not about time you started seriously considering where it is to stand with your life? Because I am come to tell you to straighten yourselves out. And we'll come to that in just a moment. I am here to give knowledge of salvation unto the Jews. This Messiah that you've been waiting for years, he's literally on the brink of announcing himself. And we need to get right. Because regardless of what we think, regardless of what we like, and regardless of what Hollywood would have us believe, we're all on a clock, each and every one of us. And the clock is always running forward. I wish there was a way to turn it back maybe 10 or 15 years, but the clock is always running forward. And we would need to get right with God before we meet him. So that's what John came to do. You're going to meet God. You need to be ready. And verse number 78 has a thing that still gets me today. This is because of the tender mercy of our God for you and me. for the lost souls, for the guys that's drinking under the bridge. For someone that's abusing someone, for someone that's killing something, that same tender mercy is extended to them all. To the judge, to the criminal, to the policeman, to the shopper, to the shop. The same tender mercy is extended to each and every person. And again, we will come to that. And that is why the love of God, as it said, sent the day of spring from on high to visit us. Why did he come? Well, verse 79 tells us he came to bring us light, to help us to see what's going on. To help us to, and I don't mean to see, hold on a wee second, I can see Colin there and Will there and Norman there and Monica there, and if I take my camera and put it in selfie mode, I can even see myself. He came to help people to see the way it really is. Not that we're basically good and that if we keep our noses clean we'll go to heaven, but that we're sinners. We're sinners by thought and deed, sinners by nature. And there's not one of us that isn't. And we all need a Saviour. And we need to understand that. And we need to understand about the way the whole universe works. And that's why the Lord gave us the parables. To say there is a time that's coming and there will be a great judgment. 2 Peter 3, we mentioned it this morning. It's all going to come to an end someday, so what sort of people should we be? What sort of people should we be? If you knew that you were going to meet God at the end of the week, how would you spend the rest of your week? You're going to meet God at the end of the week. How would you spend the rest of your week? You would be getting in touch with people, and you'd be writing letters or emails. You'd be saying your prayers. You'd be getting rid of all the bad stuff out of your house. You'd be making plans. You'd be distributing maybe your monies to make sure that it went to the right people, so that whenever you step off into eternity, that there would be nothing wasted and that everybody would know exactly where you're going. God came to teach us, to show us, to confirm to us exactly the way things work in this universe. He also came to comfort. Does talk about those that sit in darkness and the shadow of death. And that is probably one of the most frightening things that anybody can ever experience, is to literally have the shadow of death loom over them. And one of the saddest and most grieving things is obviously to be with that, the person that has that, because of that sore in the soul. And God came to give comfort for those that sit in the valley of the shadow of death. For the person that is stepping out into eternity, it is assurance that you're stepping into the hands of God Almighty. To the people that are left behind, it is the assurance that you will meet them again. And not in whatever state their body was before you left, but in a new and a glorified body, perfect, just like the Lord was. And lastly, it says to guide our feet in the way of peace. To teach us how to live, how to treat each other, how to speak with each other. Because if you were to look on to verse 14 in chapter 2, these words are not strange. These are the words of the angels whenever they were in their chorus to the shepherds. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace and goodwill toward men." Not between men, from God to men. The greatest gift that was ever given was given from God to man, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the peace that we most need, is walking with God and being at peace with him. There are many people that will be going to bed tonight in beautiful mansions. They will have central heating with Alexa controlling everything. And pray she doesn't have the head staggers. Did anybody see the little article about Alexa and said to some wee girl when she was asked, pull the plug out half an inch and put a penny in there, in where the prongs are. That's what Alexa told a little child that was asking for challenges. So pray that Alexa doesn't have the head staggers, but they can the lights will go out at a certain time, the room, the house will go to a certain temperature and stay that way all night with the boiler switching on and off at any given time, and it's soundproof so nobody knows, and have perfect humidity or dehumidity or dryness, just whatever. They will maybe have to take a little tablet to force their bodies to shut down because the conviction of sin and the worry of all of their belongings is so bad for them. Peace with God, friends, means more than a big bank account and lots of people telling you you're wonderful. But that's what John the Baptist was, that was the prophecy of what he came to do. The next verses that we read were verses 4, 5, and 6. Basically talk about John the Baptist again, or Elijah. It said, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. Crooked shall be made straight, and rough ways shall be made smooth. And as I was reading that, sometimes if you could hear what's going on in my head, I'd be saying, Lord, would you mind explaining that to me, or giving me one of the, we'll say interpretations of it, but one way of looking at it. And I got to thinking, you know, there are hills and valleys in our lives, and there are mountaintops. And people love to be at the top of the mountains. But let's be honest, most of our life is lived somewhere between the valley and the hill. There are good days and bad days. And sometimes there are wonderful days when you get up to the top and the world seems wonderful. The air is fresh and clear and the sunshine just bathes you continually and it feels great. Whether that is your moods, or whether that is where you are in life, whenever it comes to the foot of the cross, no matter your wealth, your education, the years that you still have on the clock, the language that you speak, or the color of your skin, everybody is equal in the eyes of God. There's no president that's going to come to the cross and tell Jesus that he's getting into heaven. There is no pauper that is going to come to the cross to be refused because of his poverty. Everybody is welcomed to kneel at the cross. And everybody is asked or told how to be saved, to confess their sins, to leave them there, and to walk on from there. Not a president, not a pauper, not a doctor, not a bin man, but a child of the King of Kings. Everybody's equal. Everybody's equal. And it says, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Talks about making life so much simpler, the crooked shall be made straight and the rough ways shall be made smooth. That's about Christian life. I know I keep referring to Matthew chapter 11, the last few verses. But there are people for whom life is very, very, very complicated. And the Bible says, God invites, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and ye shall have. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall have what? Goodness, that's bad. Rest unto your souls, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light, or the other way around. Come to Jesus. Make your life straightforward. Because whenever you love the Lord, there's a whole lot of things don't matter anymore. If you love the Lord and you want to please him, if you want your life to work out right, you're not going to say, right guys, I'll tell you what, talk about making life complicated. I'll be able to go out with you on Saturday night, but I can only have one drink because I need to be in my bed for 11 o'clock to get up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed in the morning to go to church, and that has to happen no matter where we are. And that's just making life hard for yourself. That's holding like two sets of values in your heart, but also, like, there's many of things happens to folks whenever they're out drinking and carrying on. Drinking really shouldn't appeal to you anymore as a child of the King of Kings. Will was reading in Corinthians where it talks about your body being the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you don't belong to yourself anymore, you belong to God. And yet he still gives you authority over your life. But he wants you to live it properly, for you to want to live it properly. And all the twists and the turns and the difficult times that you have in your life can be straightened out and smoothed over whenever you do things God's way. God has a plan for us. The only instruction he gave whenever he went up into heaven was to preach the gospel to every creature, and that should be our desire. To live our lives so that people will look at them and see Jesus. Hey, what's different about your life? How come it is in the middle of this recession you can still walk down the street whistling some of those good old tunes? And by the way, what are those old tunes? There was a purpose to John the Baptist coming. It was to remind people, to prepare people to meet with the Saviour. And bear in mind as well that John the Baptist didn't live much longer than Jesus being announced. He even said himself, I must decrease, but he must increase. And that's the whole plan. All the preaching, all the Bible verses, all the hymns, all the outreach, it's all about pointing people to Jesus Christ. That's his plan. That's what we need. In this old world that literally the rules can change in a day, right the way across the world, there is one thing that never changes, because deep down inside of us there is a need and a desire to know Christ as our Savior and to walk and to talk with him every day that never changes either. And I'll tell you from personal experience, whenever we don't, it takes an awful lot to distract you, to put that notion, that to fill that gap that you have in your life, and it's never quite filled. It's the good old story. God loves you. He wants you saved, and he knows the way this world is. And if you're thinking, well, we have it easier now than they ever had back in the days, you think up until 2,000 years ago, people didn't need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We didn't. Christians, believers didn't. They believed, and God knew that they believed. The Holy Spirit came and went on people, and they did amazing things. They preached like nobody else had ever preached, or they won victories that were quite literally impossible. Or like Samson, they had huge amounts of strength and speed. And then the Holy Spirit would go away for a little bit. But now, every moment of every day, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I would hope that would be something to remind you that we live in tricky days. And we need God every moment of every hour of those tricky days. He loves you the bits, friends. And as you go into the rest of 2022 or any endeavor, make sure and acknowledge your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and do things his way. They always work out better. Thank you for your good time, and God bless you. That's my gift to you for 2022. I think it was a half-hour sermon. You don't get many of those. Is that about right?
Yeah.
We'll sing a closing hymn. If anybody has a suggestion for a closing hymn.
345, Breathe on Me.
That will work for me. 345, Breathe on Me. And if you're able, let's stand as we sing. Amen. Thank you. him here, and we'll see you back at the next appointed time. Let's close our eyes and we'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Lord, thank you for your word, for your time, your Son, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, for being there for us at any time of the day or night. Please look after us, Lord, I pray, and those names that were mentioned this evening. For those that we don't know that love you, Lord, we pray your good hand upon them too. But countries that hate you, Lord, I pray your good hand upon them. Right the way across this world, Lord, please, please save souls. Please edify the saints. Please deliver us, Lord. Please come quickly. Bless Israel, protect and keep them, Lord. And we ask all this, as well as for safe travels, all that's out and about. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.